Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so let's talk about hurricanes. A little while ago, I talked about the fact that Hurricane Milton is now considered to be a Cat 5. Cat 5. Y'all. Whew. Anyway, Cat 5 out in the Gulf and tracking towards the west coast of Florida. You got friends down that way, you got to tell them, you know, this is real. This is right now. I mean, it could soften. It could weaken. It could. Anything could happen, right? It could also turn north. It could also turn south. But right now, they're tracking it for the west coast of Florida, central mass, right towards the Tampa Bay region. And it's scheduled to be a deadly hurricane. So you can't take it for granted. But let's talk about what we know right now over what just happened, 10 days ago? How long has it been since Hurricane Helene hit the shores? About 10 days. But I've got a piece here. I pulled this from Newsmax just to lay the foundation. Because we're going to talk about what the reaction has been from government. I will tell you this, that it appears right now that the private reaction to the damages incurred by our citizens across the entire swath of the storm, going up through Georgia into the Carolinas, and especially in East Tennessee, and especially in Western North Carolina, has been at epic proportions. We're talking entire small towns wiped out, valleys that we still can't reach well yet. They're having to use helicopters to reach some aspects of the storm-damaged regions. Power is still out in a lot of the storm areas, and very likely will be for a while. Roads are completely gone. So the death toll right now from Hurricane Helene has, as of today, according to Newsmax, climbed past 230. That's 230 dead. However, there are hundreds more still unaccounted for. Now, we know that as communications are restored and you know people are able to access remote regions, we know that there's going to be some of the so-called missing who are going to be located. Maybe they evacuated. Maybe they were displaced. And I think, though, we're going to still find that there's several hundred that may actually be lost for good. Hurricane Helene now ranks as the most deadly named storm to hit the mainland U.S. since Katrina back in 2005. Y'all, that's almost 20 years. The official response right now has included 1,000 active duty military personnel that President Biden ordered into the fray, 4,800 people from the federal workforce of some type or another, whether it be FEMA or otherwise. 6,000 National Guard personnel from 12 states have been deployed, according to the White House. Another 600 search and rescue personnel are due to arrive any time now and supplement the untold number of state, local, and rescue and relief teams. 700,000 homes and businesses were still out of electricity as of this weekend. More than 2 million customers had been without power for at least 5 days. The damage scope is out of this world. Now, I say that, yes, are there active duty military personnel now engaged? Yes, they are. I won't deny it. They are. The 82nd Airborne Division, 18th Airborne Corps out of Fort Bragg. What do they call it now? Fort Liberty now? Fort Bragg. It's Fort Bragg. Has been, you know, deployed. But the questions remain as to why did it take so long? It took 5 days for the White House to say, launch the military response. Now, there's a lot of legal hurdles, and I get that. But there's not so many that a president who is a true leader can't look at it and go, by God, get them in there. Cut the red tape. You can do it. That's what a leader would have done. But at a time when it became apparent that you needed 1,000 active duty service members to deploy, the Biden White House took 5 days to figure it out. 5 days. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've worked in the Pentagon. I know that it's a puzzle palace sometimes. I get it. I know that the wheels of government often turn slowly, but you know what? They don't have to. Why do we know? Because we've seen people like Ron DeSantis do it with state government. We've seen Donald Trump do it with federal government. We've seen how the federal government can move when it is prodded to do so. And it took 5 days to get the military response even activated. Well, there's a lot of talk, though, about FEMA. Like, what's happening with FEMA right now? I mean, we're looking at FEMA in the wake of Hurricane Helene, the most deadly storm in almost 20 years, and Milton, a Cat 5 right now, slated to hit. And we're looking at FEMA's response being called into question. Now, is FEMA engaged? Yes, they are. FEMA has people on the ground? Yes, they do. But you can watch people that I trust engaging with them on social media and getting the word out about what the response has been. And it's not been quality everywhere you look. Glenn Beck was there the other day questioning a member of FEMA as to why are y'all here late? What are you doing right now? And they said, people can apply on the app. And he said, they don't have power. Well, they can get on the web and do it, but they don't have internet access. Well, they can get in their cars and charge up their batteries on their phones and be able to get it through Starlink. Well, you block Starlink for the longest time. And oh, by the way, a lot of their cars are washed away. That kind of inane activity does not seem to help the problem. I do not want to portray, though, that I don't think FEMA's there. They're there. I get it. They are there. And oh, by the way, I also have been trained in disaster response. So I know there has to be a ground unit commander. You can't have everybody freelancing. At the same time, you can't have the ground unit commander, the on-site coordinator, be somebody who is so stymied and bureaucratic that they are impinging upon the effort of people to get relief to those who desperately need it. When we come back, I've got the audio clips. I've got the discussion points. I've got the news articles. We're going to talk about what is FEMA doing, what have they been saying, and are they feckless or are they on the job? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, welcome to hour number two already. Who stole hour number one? Where'd that go? That was flew by. All right, Meatloaf Monday, hour number two. We're talking about Dipper number one, FEMA is feckless. So there's a whole lot of discussion right now about whether or not the Biden-Harris administration has its priorities straight. And I'll just tell you right now, if you're a conservative, the answer is no. And I don't mean that in a purely political sense. You can look at it and go, okay, you guys can't find your backstab with both hands. And that's the way it feels. Well, one of the things that has happened, one of the true points of controversy, which apparently just a little while ago, and I didn't have the audio going because it was on screens while we're on the air, there was a press conference with Karine Jean-Pierre, the glass ceiling breaking press secretary, now senior advisor to the president, wearing what looked like her pawpaw suit, doing a press conference. And she was taking Peter Ducey to task because he dared to ask the question, how is it that we can't get enough money out of FEMA for American citizens, but we can, without calling Congress back in on a special session, but we can absolutely send money overseas to Lebanon. I'll get to that in a minute. Great question. She denied it. She thought it was an awful question. But here's the thing. Just this week, the word came out from none other than Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. I mean, he said it. It's not like we made it up. It's not some liberal, you know, screaming that we got a vast right-wing conspiracy. These are his words. He said that FEMA is running out of money. He said that FEMA does not have the ability to afford its way through the rest of this hurricane season. His words, FEMA is facing a dire cash crunch, saying that while the agency can meet immediate needs, it, quote, does not have enough funding to make it through the hurricane season. What the heck? Are you, what, why? And you look at it and go, okay, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure this is going to be a political flashpoint, but you said it anyway. All right. Don't blame us for jumping on it when you said it. And if FEMA can't respond with enough money for American citizens who have been devastated, then you have to ask, where did it go? Because we've been upfunding you like crazy. The budgets have not at all sacrificed FEMA. There has been no dearth of funding for FEMA. In fact, Congress just replenished the agency's disaster relief fund with $20 billion as part of a stopgap spending bill just recently, according to Newsweek. Newsweek, not known for being a bastion of conservatism, Newsweek. The bill also gave FEMA flexibility, it says, to draw on money as needed, but it left out billions that have been requested in supplemental disaster funding. Well, What came out is the understanding that FEMA has been spending its budget money on supporting illegal immigrants in the United States. What? Yes. FEMA has spent billions of dollars paying the costs of importing illegals through their parole program and housing illegals and providing grants to local communities for the relief that they're begging for because they can't sustain operations with all the illegals flooding their city limits. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, stored a story here that I pulled off of Yahoo, addressed these claims that the Biden administration has been diverting FEMA funds to illegal immigration efforts. He said he knows there are different pools of funds, and there are. Money's fungible. I get that. I'm saying that. But he also understands why Americans are frustrated, because we shouldn't be seeing billions of dollars being spent by FEMA. We shouldn't. We're right now in the deadliest hurricane season America has had in 20 years. And we're staring at billions being spent on illegals. That does not add up. Now, that came out, and oh, it caused consternation. And JP, I'm going to be calling for audio clip number 2 here momentarily. That's the one with Karine Jean-Pierre. But I'll say this. Karine Jean-Pierre took absolute issue with this. I mean, it's just categorically false. It's not true. It's a false statement. Well, hello. I think she said something different not so long ago. In fact, in 2022, in her own words, I love it when you can use their words against them. So far, I've used Mayorkas' words against him. Now I'm about to use Karine Jean-Pierre. You got that audio? Go ahead and play it.
It's just categorically false. No, Biden did not take FEMA relief money to use on migrants. So FEMA regional administrators have been meeting with city officials on site to coordinate available federal support from FEMA and other federal agencies. Funding is also available through FEMA's Emergency Food and Shelter Program to eligible local governments and non-for-profit organizations upon request to support humanitarian relief for migrants.
Okay, you heard two clips back to back. In one fell swoop, we just brought the receipts. You've got Karine Jean-Pierre in the last couple of days absolutely denying that FEMA spends any of its money. Categorically false. It's not, don't you even try, don't you go there. Categorically false that the Biden administration would ever spend FEMA money on illegal immigration. And then, bam, somebody finds the video, brings it up from the past, 2022. There she was talking about how FEMA is now extending its funds to local communities to assist in illegal immigration. I want to play it again so you'll know. You still good on that clip? I want to play it again so you guys can hear them back to back. Keep in mind, you'll hear the kind of changeover, the tone. It has a slightly different audio inflection to it. But the first one is her last week, denying that there's been any FEMA dollars spent on illegal immigration. And then the next one is her saying that there was. Go ahead and play it.
It's just categorically false. No, Biden did not take FEMA relief money to use on migrants. So FEMA regional administrators have been meeting with city officials on site to coordinate available federal support from FEMA and other federal agencies. Funding is also available through FEMA's Emergency Food and Shelter Program to eligible local governments and non-for-profit organizations upon request to support humanitarian relief for migrants.
All right, I mean, I don't know what else we can say. I mean, she says it, right? Am I just dreaming this? No. I'm watching the video. She is saying it with a straight face. That never happened. Oh, by the way, that happened. That's going to happen a lot. We do these things because it's very important, because here we are. We care for others. That never happened. Well, you said it did, but I'm a glass ceiling breaking press secretary. Yes, you are. And you're a liar. Now, I will also point out that FEMA's website still has its rumor response page up. It's gotten so bad with the allegations against how FEMA has handled things that they felt the need to put up a landing page that just deals with what they call rumor response. It's things about, you know, rebuking the claims that they've ever responded with their funds to border-related issues. And yet, there's the daggum administration. Oh, by the way, let me just point out something else. I don't have it in my stack here, but I found it right before I went on the air. a story just broke on Fox News just about exactly 3 hours ago. Exactly 3 hours ago. Mayorkas says FEMA has no more disaster funds, but its own internal IG inspector report says the agency is actually sitting on billions of unspent dollars. Now, this is the trick of government. We don't have any more money. Why don't you? Well, because it's all earmarked. Oh, the old earmark trick. So you said, let's give a grant for that thing that we don't need right now, and when they don't spend it, we'll just sit there on it and wait till one day when someone decides whether we're allowed to. They want Congress to come back in and have a special session to print more money. And yet, according to the Homeland Secretary's own IG or DHS Inspector General's report that was released today, FEMA is right now sitting on $8.3 billion in untapped, unspent funds. What is that about? Well, it says that the end result is these are funds that date back, some of them all the way back to Hurricane Sandy, where they have set aside funds for the rebuilding, for the ability to assist, grants that have been earmarked that have never been spent, and the money just sits there. I'm pretty sure we could fund government for a while just on what sits there in pots of money that no one is able to touch because someone said it was for something else. And here we have hundreds of Americans dead and missing. And here we have millions still without power. And here we have upwards of, right now, I think 700 incident reports across North Carolina alone indicating that there are roads that are washed away or are currently impassable. And yet FEMA is sitting on $8.3 billion, but Mayorkas himself, in his usual kind of arrogant Schmeagle sort of way, comes out and says, we don't have enough to get through the season. And then Karine Jean-Pierre denies they've been spending it on illegals. But yet Karine Jean-Pierre said that they did spend it on illegals. Does anybody have any reason to believe that FEMA shouldn't put up their website to dispel rumors because people are talking? Yeah, people are talking. You know what? They're talking about what you're saying and what you're doing and not doing. Story here on Breitbart says that the roads in North Carolina may remain closed or damaged for months, that there's even places like parts of Interstate 40 and other major highways and roads that might take months to get back to full capacity, as well as hundreds of millions of dollars to get them rebuilt. In the mountainous areas of North Carolina, it's gotten so bad in some places, there's one group using mules to transport supplies to remote homes. And then Representative Nancy Mace, she has introduced legislation that would redirect funds away from FEMA for migrants to Hurricane Helene victims and ban other federal funds for that type of initiative. It's a bill that probably won't go anywhere because we have a polarized House and Senate. It's a bill that probably won't get off the ground, but it looks good when you talk about it. But I will say this, it's the kind of bill that needs to happen. We don't need a special session of Congress. All we need is congressional authority, which apparently they've already given, to make money fungible. And if they're sitting on $8.3 billion in excess unused funds from previous disasters, it's time to go ahead and say, you lost your opportunity 10 years ago to spend that money we earmarked. It is there now for people who need it. And we're going to spend it to repair roads, and we're going to spend it to reach people, and we're going to spend it to restore businesses and to renew lives. That is not rocket science. And I did not sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. It is just the kind of thing that a leader could actually do. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris showed up and talked about giving $750 checks to people that need it. We got a couple more pieces. When we get back from this next break, don't go yet, but when we get back from this next break, we're going to talk about one of the impediments to efficient government right now. Before I do that, I got to tell you that one of the most tone-deaf things I've ever seen or heard of just happened. Kamala sending money to terrorists while we have Americans that can't turn on the lights. Let's go ahead and take that break, brother. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back and move this thing forward. I ran long, but I'll come back and get some text messages and start cleaning up this topic. Feckless FEMA, holy cow. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gaston, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to finish this up talking about feckless FEMA. So, listen, I mean, madness, right? I know that there are some good folks working for FEMA, and there are some people out there doing good things. I've actually interacted with them in the past. You know, when I was in the state senate and we had disasters in our area, I saw FEMA do its thing. I've known people that work for the EMA at the local level and interacted with FEMA. I've been trained in the military on disaster response. I get it. I can see some of what's happening, and I know that they are not entirely without some measure of success and activity on their part. But their leadership sucks. It just does. Don't try to pretend otherwise. And they've got massive problems right now with the fact that they're sitting on $8.3 billion in earmarked back funds that have never been used from disasters that date back over a decade. And they've also got, oh, by the way, Mayorkas himself saying, well, we're just not going to have enough money to get through the season to help people. His words, not mine. And then you've got Karine Jean-Pierre flat out denying that they would ever use FEMA funds for illegal immigrants. And yet then we also play Karine Jean-Pierre herself saying just a couple years ago, if FEMA was proud to go ahead and provide funds to local communities for immigrant relief. So yeah, they're doing it. They spent over $1.4 billion out of FEMA's budget for illegal aliens. Just saying. Now, that being said, there's another issue. Did you pull up that website? Regale us now with what you found and repeat what we talked about Friday.
So if you go to FEMA's website, they have three goals on there. Number one is equity. Number two is climate resilience, which is also one to dive into. But then number three, the last of the goals, is readiness. When you think that should be number one.
Okay. Now, is there any verbiage to go along with equity, the number one on the list?
Yeah, so there's three sections. Number one is diverse workforce. Number two is people-first approach. And then number three is equitable outcomes, which says a people-first approach removes barriers to access and is beneficial to everyone. On its own, however, this approach is not sufficient to break the cycle of disasters, worsening societal inequities and exposing undeserved communities to increased risk. There are systemic differences in society that access alone cannot fix.
Just somewhere in there, you went total Charlie Brown's teacher on me.
Or it's a word salad.
It's a word salad. So basically what they're saying is they're going to find what they deem to be underprivileged groups of some demographic or another, probably a lot of wokeness built in, and they're going to say, we're going to take care of them maybe first.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yep. In the next
section, what they're saying.
The next section says undeserved communities experience differences in how prepared they are to respond to disasters, how well their homes have been adapted to mitigate against local hazards, and how quickly their communities are able to resume social and economic life after a major event. And then in all bold, this says FEMA must direct its resources to eliminate disparities in these outcomes.
Oh, so, okay. So you said undeserved or underserved? Would you say underserved, right?
Yes.
Underserved, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. By the way, who gets to decide what's underserved there, JP? What do you think? I'm pretty sure it's them, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's the people who write the woke agenda that gets to decide what that really means. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you hear that kind of just, what'd you call it, word salad?
Word salad.
Yeah, that kind of mess. You got audio clip number one ready for me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is a FEMA Zoom call. This is a FEMA Zoom call as they postulate how best to handle the questions of who gets funding in disaster relief. Now, I will tell you, this almost felt like a Saturday Night Live skit to me. I listened to this, I watched it, and I thought, no, is this real? Apparently it's real. I'm playing you full credit here to, I think this is End Wokeness? Who is this from?
End Wokeness on X.
Yeah, End Wokeness on X, formerly Twitter, found this and reposted it. And it's, y'all, listen, you're going to hear it. But a beta male who I think questions his own identity is the one talking about the fact that we need to make sure that the LGBTQ agenda is actually advanced in the equity of who receives relief from FEMA. I kid you not. Go ahead and play it.
Sparked a few things in my mind, thinking about preparedness and how you said, you know,
and that's a guy.
LGBTQIA people and people who have been disadvantaged already are struggling. They already have their own things to deal with. So you add a disaster on top of that. It's just compounding on itself. And I think that is maybe the why of why we're having these discussions, is because it isn't being talked about. It isn't being socialized. We're not paying attention to this community. Thank you so much. Maggie.
Thank you. Yeah, there are a couple of things that are intersecting in my mind here. One of them is the culture of emergency management as an organization, as an industry in the United States specifically, not abroad. This has, and my cat sometimes does this, she gets really loud suddenly, so you'll have to just allow for the little
meowing. Hang on, stop. Let me just point out, first of all, the first voice you heard was allegedly a guy. Hard to believe. The next voice you heard, Maggie, is such a professional that she has to talk about for a minute there in the middle of this FEMA discussion as to why her cat is making so much noise, which tells me right now that she's at home working in her pajamas while she talks about the equity agenda for relief. And by the way, I hope you heard the soy boy at the first talking, saying that what we're looking at here is a need to find the way to help in the LGBTQ, you know, community. They're already facing so much trouble in life, and now that you add a disaster on top of it, and this gets hard. And then she chimes in right after the cat meows, and you heard the rest of it. Go ahead and play.
Background. The shift that we're seeing right now is a shift in emergency management from utilitarian principles, where everything is designed for the greatest good for the greatest amount of people, to disaster equity. But we have to do more, right? And so this topic is intersecting, I think, with a number of other topics where we have to look at policies and understand to what extent they have disadvantaged communities that had less assets, communities that had pre-existing vulnerabilities in accessing disaster-related recovery supports.
Did she just say we've got to get away from the culture of looking at relief from the greater good, for the utilitarian version of relief for the greater good, and moving into finding those communities that have been underserved or something like that? Is that what you said?
And doing that is not doing enough, supposedly, according to her.
Do we know who she is? Does it say who she is?
It's blurry, but I see something more Jerry, I believe, is what it says.
All I know is, and the dude who started the whole conversation off and then you know, threw the pitch to her, he's got the logos behind him for FEMA, doesn't he?
He does.
Okay. Listen. If we're gonna look at giving out relief dollars based upon, I don't know, who you think deserves them more because they've had a hard time in other parts of their life, then it's never gonna get parsed out.
By the way, how do they verify this? I mean, I could walk up to them and be like, I'm a gay man, can I have some money? And, you know, like, how do they verify that?
Brother,
stuff?
I have no idea. It's like reparations. I mean, you guys made the rules, right? So if JP and I want to move to California and claim that we're black men, can we get reparation money? Is that the way it works? But I guess in this case, you can go now to the FEMA folks and say, hey, I heard you guys are doing something like the equity relief stuff, so I'm gay today. Can I get some money? Does it work that way? I mean, what are the stringent standards to prove that you've been part of the underserved communities?
It's
and then what constitutes underserved? The road to my house is a dirt road. Oh, so sorry. Well, you chose that. Mm-hmm. You live in the hills on purpose. Does that make you underserved? I'm gay. Oh, well, then you're definitely underserved. You're gay on a dirt road? That's really awful. We can't, every bit of that's self-inflicted. What about, I mean, you look at it and go, okay, there's two businesses in downtown Asheville, both of which are wiped out. One's a gay nightclub and the other is a diner owned by a cis white male. Which one gets money? Well, we obviously have to go with the gay nightclub.
Yeah, exactly.
That, if that kind of stuff's going to happen in government, then government's breaking down. Government cannot look at things and decide who the winners and losers are. When you get to the point that government gets to decide the winners and the losers, then guess what? Everybody's a loser. Because there's no way in the world for there to be true equity if you get to decide who loses all the time. The truth be told, it's not about equity, it's about equality. And they need to have equality of effort. And what she just said in that one, I almost want to hear her part again. I don't know if you can find it without any trouble, but it may be hard to parse it back and get to that one section. But she says something along the lines of, we have to change the culture in the relief effort, and we have to get, you know, past the point that, you think you got it? Go ahead and play it again.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that are intersecting in my mind here. One of them is the culture of emergency management as an organization, as an industry in the United States specifically, not abroad. This has, and my cat sometimes does this, she gets really loud suddenly, so you'll have to just allow for the little meowing in the background. The shift that we're seeing right now is a shift in emergency management from utilitarian principles where everything is designed for the greatest good for the greatest amount of people to disaster equity.
Go ahead and turn it off. I can't take her anymore. And by the way, go put the cat in your laundry room and be a professional. Thank you very much. Anyway, that's all right. Listen, is FEMA feckless? Well, I tell you what, FEMA's got issues. And if FEMA's not going to be feckless, it's going to take new leadership. Because you can't have that be the public representation of who you are. You can't spend money on illegals and not spend money on American citizens. You can't shortchange American citizens while you sit on a pile of cash simply because you don't want to ask to be able to use it because you're hoarding it. That you're creating a slush fund off to the side. You can't do that. And then lastly, you also can't decide who the winners and losers are. You can't be a serious organization designed for the relief of emergencies, the Federal Emergency Management Association, FEMA. You can't do that and actually pick who you like better. Because at that point, it's a favoritism game. At that point, government is no longer there for the people. It makes you wonder why you pay tax dollars if they get to decide who gets it. And I understand that there's going to be some assignment of appropriations of dollars to things that you and I may not agree with at times, and I get that. But the very idea that everyone who paid taxes in North Carolina, that only some people get the benefit of it because they're into, you know, moving the culture of relief away from the utilitarian purposes of relief for all and the greater good to those who just need it in terms of equitable relief. My God. In fact, do you have a jackassery button over there somewhere? Have you found that button? Play me some jackassery. That's... Whew. All right, I'm wound up now. You better take it to a break so I can just, like, take a timeout. We're taking a break. We're going to change topics. Whew, I think we better. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.